So here is John the Baptist, baptizing people with water, living in the desert, eating locust and honey, being a Nazarene, a zealot of sorts, a religious person, setting himself aside from society in order to do these religious rituals, to be someone special, to be a prophet, to be available to the people of Israel, to show them that they need to repent of their sins, be baptized, be cleansed, because something special is about to happen in their world.
Amen.
Amen. And what is that something special? Why, it's the coming of our Lord. The arrival of a Messiah, someone who was set aside, consecrated to be the Savior of Israel. And so, here's John saying, I have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God. Wasn't it enough just to have seen Him? No. He had to see and testify. He had to speak out to the people of Israel and say, this is the one for whom I am preparing you. This is the one for whom I'm asking you to be baptized and ask for forgiveness of your sins, because this is the one who comes to save us and our nation from destruction.
Praise God.
And He's still offering that salvation. And I believe that we are still being called to do what John did, to see and testify about the coming of Jesus Christ. Because when He comes into our hearts, if our hearts are not transformed enough that we can't speak out and tell the world, or at least the part of the world that we meet, what God has done in our lives, how He has changed us, how He has saved us, how He has transformed us into one of God's children, then just seeing Him is not going to be enough. It wasn't enough for John. He had to tell everybody, I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Spirit descend upon Him. I didn't know Him in the flesh, but when the Spirit descended upon Him, I knew Him because God had told me ahead of time that this sign would be the sign to show me. And so now we look for Him to descend upon our hearts, to come down and change those hearts that are hardened by pain and suffering and sin and guilt and shame and all the other things that we struggle with in the world, and to heal those pains and to undo that hurt and to lift that guilt and to wash away that shame. Without Him, we are just people. We may have seen Him, but we have nothing to testify to. With Him in our hearts, we begin to change. We become cleansed. We begin to grow. We begin to be open to the kind of love that transforms people and situations and life and ultimately the world. Jesus came into the world, and the world expected a conquering hero. They expected a warrior prince. They expected a leader who would raise the armies of men and angels and throw the Romans out of Israel and make it the center of the world. And what did He do? He allowed Himself to be hung upon a tree, crucified, dead, buried, placed in a tomb. But the tomb could not hold Him. Death could not hold Him. John testified that he had seen the One, but even he did not realize what was to come. We have Christ in our lives. We know that He was raised from the dead. We know that He ascended into heaven. We know that He sits at the right hand of God the Father to be our advocate, to be our lawyer, to be our partner, to be our spokesman before the ultimate judge. And that we, when we stand before the judge at the end of our lives, we will have him standing next to us saying, "Judge, I've already paid the price for this person's sin because he believes, she believes in me." Amen. How would you like to be able to stand before the judge at the court and have someone stand next to you and say, "Lord, I've already served her sentence. I've already served his sentence. I've already taken care of that debt. I've already paid that fine. I've already paid that price. Let him, let her go free, and I will take that sentence." What an amazing thing. You know? I had a man in a group that I did in prison who was serving 5 years for his first DUI offense in a state prison. And he didn't think it was fair because there were people who were on their second and third and they were only doing a year and a day. Well, it took us a couple of months before we found out that there were some extenuating circumstances. The mother and two children that died when he pulled out of the parking lot of that bar that he went to every night for years. That he was going to be putting a memorial to on the side of the highway when he got out of prison and did the rest of his probation. But he still didn't think it was fair. So I asked him one day, "How many times have you driven drunk? How many times did you go to that same bar, drink until you couldn't stand up, and then get in the car?" You know, that's always a good excuse. "I got to drive home now because I can't walk." Whew! Get in the car and drive home, even though it was just a few blocks. "How many times did you did that?" And he said, "I did that every night for years." I said, "If you had a year and a day for every time you drove drunk, what do you deserve?" And his face got all funny because he said, "I deserve thousands of years of prison." We deserve thousands of years for all the things that we have done. Maybe we've never driven drunk, but we have broken God's law. And the punishment is death. The punishment is death. Not just death today, but eternal death. Death for eternity. And yet, Jesus says, "I paid that debt. I did that time. I died for them. I died for them. Can they live for me? I guess we'll see." Amen. Amen.